Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Scott Waldman. I'm going to talk about myself for a second because artist management is weird. It's really, 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 really weird. I found out on Monday night that the bass player for a band I manage called Boomtown Crooks, who, by the way, are incredible, kind of like Johnny Cash meets Rolling Stones, you know, a lot of people say Chuck Reagan, and I like Chuck Reagan, so I'm all for it. I'm more into Chuck Reagan, actually, than Hot Water Music. Anyway, I digress. Their bass player, over text, let us know that he can't do the tour that they had booked for months. So I'm going on the road for the first time in 10 years. The last time I was on the road was playing bass for the City Drive in May. And it's kind of crazy, of 2007. And it's going to be May of 2017, this one. So it's wild, wild, wild. I'm back in the trenches. Anyway, no more about me. Let's talk about the man of the literal hour. Morgan Carney is awesome. And he's going to be on the show, and he's awesome. I don't know. I feel maybe that I might stammer a little bit more today because I'm on my third cup of coffee, and Fish is on his first, and there's a little cool thing of milk next to his coffee, so you guys don't see it, but I do. Morgan Carney is awesome. We've never met in person, but we talk a lot, actually. He is the talent buyer, not the booker, the talent buyer at a venue in Nashville called Rockatown, which has every single band on the planet plays there. It's a really, really cool venue. I really want to check it out next time I'm in that city. I actually haven't been in Nashville since 2006, so that's definitely in order because I manage a girl named Jess Coppins from Mirror Eyes Floods or whatever that lives there, so I should go and hug her. Anyway, in addition, Morgan also manages a bunch of bands, one of which I really like, called Woven in Hiatus, who's on In Vogue Records. He manages a band called Radnor, and he also manages a band called Forever at Last. He's got his own company called Captain Artist Management. So he's a hyphen, talent buyer manager, and I guess we're both learning things together. You never stop learning, so thank you so much, Morgan, for being on the show. The next few weeks are going to be awesome. Next week, I'm actually going to be on the road. I was supposed to tape an episode here, but we're going to run the episode that got deleted and then got re-recorded with JJR, who manages 4 Year Strong, and Fish and I both like him a lot. And we like the episode, too, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. The following week, we've got Chris Bianchi, who works at Mercenary Management. A few weeks ago, we had Dan Suriff, also from that company, so this month is a very mercenary month, so I gotta get kind of tough and work out a tad more because I'm hairy and thin. Is that accurate? Yeah, Fish did not even fucking flinch. He just nodded. So hairy, thin guy needs to lift a little bit more. We've got Buck Foley, who manages, honestly, this band that is I'm hearing about more than most bands, called Sleep On It. And he's also a part of Riot Fest, which is, again, I don't know like why I always obsess over this festival, but every single year they outdo themselves. So he works there. And then the following week, we got Mike Subios, and I hope I didn't butcher that, but he is a publicist. Kubalosulos. He's a great guy, and he is a publicist to everyone, literally everyone. Namely, for me, Real Big Fish and the Rise Records roster. So wait, Fish, how do I pronounce that name? Kubalos. See? You learn something new every day. So I've never gotten Feischkin wrong, so I'm kind of happy about this. So anyway, enjoy these commercials, enjoy everything. Adobe has been so good to me, and I love it, and I love Morgan. Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Morgan Carney, who is currently in Nashville, Tennessee, Skyping with us.
What's up, Scott? How are you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. I gave you quite a shout-out that you haven't heard yet, so this better bring it. No pressure. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, I think I can make it. I think I can deliver.
I think that you already have made it because you're on Waldman's Words. So, I mean, I'm just telling you, this is the benchmark for success, at least in my book. So
I don't think it gets any better from here.
Well, you know what? Doesn't it suck to know that like now is your peak? Because after now, it's like, crap. Like, what else is there? I mean, I know you're getting married, blah, blah, blah. That's not as important.
Yeah, but that's not Walden's words.
No, I mean, I am married to this show and a wife. So it's pretty sweet. She's very supportive. It's an open relationship. I talk to many dudes and girls. She's very, very tolerant. Thank you. All right. So anyway, how did we meet?
You know, that's a great question. I feel like we met.
I know the answer, but I want to hear if you know.
Let's see if I know the answer. I feel like we met right after I took over managing Woven in Hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were talking
about. That's not the right answer.
Is that not the right answer?
No, we met over email. I mean, it's so crazy. And I know that as a talent buyer for a venue that I told Fish is quite a reputable one, and I tell myself that every night before I go to sleep. But basically, as the talent buyer for a reputable venue, I'm sure you get quite a few emails. So mine was one of them. And you responded. We were just talking about the possibilities of a band that I managed that now has another name. They were called Mirror Eyes at the time, just a show there, and you were cool to deal with then.
So it was just a show. Okay.
I think it was that way. Like, I think it was you met me because I am soliciting. That's how you met me. So thank you for doing my show right now. I really appreciate it.
Well, man, I'm glad you're no longer soliciting. That's good. You're moving up in the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm definitely still soliciting. I mean, managers, let's talk about this for a second.
Okay. Let's talk about it. Let's go.
You're an artist manager. I guess besides the word liaison, I mean, this is totally messing with my outline, but whatever. Tangents, life. Awesome.
Let's go.
No, let's do it. Life is way too short to be happy. So basically, when you're an artist manager, like you are with Captain Artist Management, hashtag blessed, you are a salesman. It's a sales job. So whoever you talk to, obviously, you know, people are trying to get to know each other, people are trying to network, or people are trying to get business for their artists. And
right, right.
So, yeah, you know what? I'm never going to stop soliciting. It's just obviously, you know, I'm trying to refine it every day in how I do it. There's a delicate art to the pitch email. But you know what? I'm talking like 89% of this and you're 11%. So I'm going to zip my mouth. I want you to talk about, I guess, because we became friends on Facebook. Like, what is the scope of our relationship? Because I've never met you in person. Not once.
What is – I mean, I like to think we have a great relationship. We talk probably several times a week, which is cool.
I agree. And it's nice to hear you say that, because I was going to say that verbatim with your Atlanta twang. Like, I was going to do it all.
Yeah, I think it kind of comes out when I get on the phone a little bit more than in person.
You mean it comes out more on the phone than in email? I want a Coke? Because every
soda.
You say y'all. Yeah, I know. I even say y'all, and I hit myself for doing it because I'm a Long Island kid, and like that's the kind of stuff I would have made fun of in high school, and now I've become who I hate. Anyway, so we became friends. You're a friend, I'm a friend, and we're both doing the same thing.
I would say we're friends. Yeah.
Yeah, I like you. You're my friend. No, I mean in New York, if you don't like someone, it's like F off. In LA, it's like, hey, I hate you. So that's just like I like you. Anyway, so I guess we're artist managers on a similar level, you know, like our bands are not, you know, raking in millions and millions of dollars, and we're just trying to come up in the scene. So how did you start? How did you start even before Rocket Town? Because I honestly don't even know this. Like, I do know that you're from Georgia. I do know that you live in Tennessee, but like, were you ever in bands or anything? Like, how did this work?
Yeah, so I was in we're going to go way back.
I want to go like prenatal, dude. Like, I want you to tell me like what instrument you learned in the womb.
So, well, I was a preemie. So I came out the womb at like 3 pounds, 6 ounces.
Oh, this just got real. This just got real.
I'm a big boy now, so I'm making up for lost time. But so all through middle school, high school, whatever, I was in choir a lot.
Okay.
And when I say I was in choir, I actually mean I was the president of choir.
Like an acquired taste or choir?
Choir, I say.
Oh, C-H-O-I-R, choir.
Yes, that
okay.
Choir.
Got it.
And so I didn't even really start thinking about the business side of music until senior year high school.
Mm-hmm.
my mom actually got a Facebook friend request from like one of her old elementary school friends. Her son was in a band. They were looking for a new singer. I went and auditioned, got in. So, and that was kind of my first foray into non-classical music, really.
Non-classical? So like you're a Baroque boy.
Yeah, sure. I like, you know, wear tights and ruffly shirts and everything.
That's awesome, man. Like, I didn't know that about you. You're so symphonic.
Yeah, no, I'm very prim and proper, if you can't tell.
No, I mean, just the fact that you referenced like the attire that like George Washington would wear, I give you mad respect for that, because, you know, I don't often hear that in stage banter when I check out a band on En Vogue Records. So this is different, you know. So I feel that we're at like inside the actor studio with that guy. I think his name's James Lipton. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I feel like right now either you or I, is James Lipton, and the audience right now is getting cultured, because this is an educational show. So I want you to – I don't even care about your career anymore. Like, I want you just to talk about classical music for the duration of this broadcast.
Well, I don't – I'm not really that well versed in classical music, so I can't go on for an hour about it.
you might as well hang up, because, like, that was actually the real reason I had you on here. All right, all kidding aside – you know, you shred the piccolo. Did you ever, you know, play guitar, bass, or drums, or anything in a traditional rock band, or sing?
So no, I was mainly a singer. So after I got in that band,
well, I know you're in choir, but you know,
yeah. I got in that band, and then it was kind of funny. It was like we had a 9-year-old drummer at the time, which was kind of weird.
That's that's creepy, dude.
Yeah, it was a little weird. It's one of those like bands that got put together by like a rock camp or something like that.
Oh, School of Rock does that now, and I used to work at a camp doing that. I mean, it's
so I was. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No. We talked about this before the show. This is great because like we both apologized to each other, and this is awesome. You're such a sweetheart, but there's a lot of momagers and dadagers out there, which I'm sure you've seen. So that's just reminding me of that for some reason with a 9-year-old kid. Like, I actually don't manage anyone. And maybe you do. Do you manage anyone under the age of 18?
I do not.
I just don't know if that's something I even want to even tread.
I agree with you.
Yeah. All right, so back to the 9-year-old drummer, Tito Jackson.
Yeah, his name was Michael. But anyways, I was in that band. I never actually went to the rock camps or whatever, but I was in that band, and then that kind of got me into the rock world. And so obviously I quit that band. And then started playing, like singing in more traditional rock groups, a few pop punk bands and all that kind of stuff. And then I went to college in Nashville in 2011. I went to a school called Belmont University.
Which has quite an expansive music business program, correct? That's what I've heard.
That's correct. Hey! Yeah, no, that's definitely true.
Hashtag research.
And so, yeah, while I was there, I was a double major in music business and marketing. Booked the on-campus venue, interned everywhere you can.
Were you the main booker? Because I know that college shows, like, sometimes they have no idea what the heck they're doing, and they offer bands so much money. So I'm grateful to those. But excuse me, I'm on my third cup of coffee, and I just had an incident, but I'm okay. So with the college shows, was that you, or did you have a team?
We had a venue that it was like a club venue.
Oh, on campus.
So. Yeah, it was on campus. It was called the Curb Cafe. It was like a little coffee shop, club venue that we did shows literally every night of the week. So I was booking all of those and just kind of running the logistics of that. So I did that for like 3 years or something like that.
I mean, you learn a lot when you're literally in the dirt. That's what I say to people. You know what I'm saying? It's just
I definitely know what you're saying.
There's
no
better way to learn than to actually do it. So
yeah, and you can go to school for music business all you want, but like after you get out and start doing it, you're gonna learn more than you did in the entire 4 years in like the first month.
Yeah, I feel like I said this the other day to someone else, but you just plagiarized my brain, because I actually have a degree in English, you know, go figure. Okay. And I moved to LA with my guitar, my bass, and my English degree. And I would argue that in the 1 year from like 22 to 23, like post-college, living in LA and being on my own and learning about, like really learning about financial responsibilities, because you're in a bubble, and I'm sure you were at Belmont and I was at Michigan, you know, you're just in a bubble.
Yeah.
I learned more about life in the 1 year that I was out of college than the 22 years all combined. So I get it. That's what I honestly say. And, you know, obviously, like, studying music business or studying anything in school, it's great. It's amazing. I mean, but, you know, I've seen people on New York City subways that I'm not sure if they're homeless or it doesn't look like they're doing well, that are better guitar players than bands that we love. You know, they're just so good.
Oh, definitely.
But, you know, it doesn't mean if you have a degree from Berklee School of Music, which is one of the top music, that's where John Mayer went, you know. If you have a degree in those from those schools, it doesn't matter. It's about, like, how hard you work, who you end up meeting, and obviously songs. So I get it. Did that make sense, or was that a ramble? Like, I just want to make sure.
I followed.
Yeah, buddy. So anyway, so back to college, Belmont, shout out. I'm expecting a hoodie in the mail after this call. I will rock it.
All right. I'll work on it. I'll call my people over there.
Dope. Is it a Christian school, Belmont, though? That's what I thought, right?
Yeah, it's a private Christian liberal arts school.
Got it. And Rocketown, we'll get into that. It is a Christian venue as well, as far as, like, it's a dry campus venue, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I thought. I mean, we don't necessarily – we are a faith-based venue. We don't identify as any specific denomination.
Okay. I'm glad I asked you that. No, Rocketown, I mean, for this kid in California who sees shows all the time being announced in various cities and such – said that you would shout this interview out on the Rocketown pages. Thank you, I'm whispering.
I will after it's posted and online and you give me the flyer to do it.
No. I want you to do it right now with a link that doesn't exist. Anyway, so, you know, the venue always has bands large and small playing there. It's just like, it's an incredible, it's like a very diverse venue. You know, some venues I see are like, okay, this is like the metal venue, but I feel that like, there's an eclectic – that's the word – and a very eclectic list at Rocketown. But how did you bridge the gap from being a student to working there? I actually had a Facebook exchange with someone I didn't know that said that he worked with you. You know what I mean? I don't know if you remember that. That was like a few weeks ago. But like, how did you start at Rocketown?
Yeah. So while I was at Belmont, essentially what happened was – part of the reasons that we booked shows at the venue at Belmont was for the live sound students to get time behind the board.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what happened was Belmont grew so much that we had to outsource to another venue because we had too many kids that needed mixing time, essentially. So they started renting out Rocketown, the white building, the 500 cap room. And that kind of fell under me, just my umbrella, because I already booked the existing venue.
Wow. Sounds like a promotion.
Yeah, it was sick.
Congratulations. So, I didn't see it on LinkedIn, but congratulations.
But yeah, so that's how I got to know Bobby, who was the entertainment manager at the time. And of course, I was in bands through college and played Rocketown. That was kind of my scene that I was in.
Can you name a band that you were in that played there just so you can give them a shout out to their MySpace page?
Well, I was very the humble college kid that I was. I was in a band called The Captain because my name's Morgan.
And your management company.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa.
It's all clicking now.
I mean, it still is never going to click, buddy. But I'll get it someday. Captain Morgan, I get it, of course. I've heard that drink before. And what's kind of funny is that Rum and I have a really good relationship, and I'll cut off there. So,
and we have a good relationship. So it's
I mean,
meant
I
to
love
be.
That. Yeah, we need to have some Morgans out in LA or out in Nashville or maybe at an IMI conference. I don't know. Like, I don't know when you're going to be here. I don't know when I'm going to be there. But I really want to go to Nashville for so many reasons, including you and Jess Coppin. So, you know, that'd be great.
Come hang.
I assure it's the kind of thing where, you know, like when you I'm sure that you are the monitor or admin or editor or whatever to your band's Facebook page and they're like, come to this city, come to that city. And I'm just like, we want to, you know, touring. Yes. People don't really understand that it costs money. And people also don't understand #rant that when they don't buy records, it's harder for bands to tour.
Oh my, what? You mean when people don't get paid for their profession, it's hard for them to continue doing that?
I know that that seems like a foreign concept to you, Mr. Captain. Lieutenant Scott, I'm still grasping it too. But anyway, so talk more about Rockettown.
Yeah. So anyways, I graduated
Anywho.
Belmont, worked at a record label called Capitol Christian Music Group. It was a sub of Universal for a little bit. That was my first job out of college. And then I was there for like 4 months, and Bobby called me and said, "Hey, I'm leaving. I want you to be the first to interview for my job." And I said, "Okay." And here we are almost 2 years later, just trying to book shows.
Nice.
So,
That's the best word I could use to say that. But booking shows for someone on the outside, and we have a few minutes and then we're going to take a commercial break. Like, tell me what, obviously there's no typical day, just because priorities shift and things change. But what does that entail? Because I real like obviously I know a little bit, but I would never claim to know as much as you. And chances are one of the people listening would love to know about this. Like, how does this work? And
Right.
I guess I normally close out with advice, but what advice would you give to someone who wants to get your attention positively?
As far as like when they're sending me a booking email.
As you know what, my solicitation worked and now we're buddies, but some people's solicitation might not. So I'm just curious, like assume that right now my name is Scott Fishkin and I manage a band called Gone Waldman, okay? Let's talk about this. And Fish did
right.
not smile. Like, I'd say like my dad jokes like have like a 1 in 75 success rate with him, but those successful ones are freaking awesome. Anyway, go.
Yeah, no. So I would say, and people might punch me for this, but I would say one of the most important things for bands to be doing right now is working on your social numbers and making sure you're marketable online and things of that nature. Because I think what a lot of people don't realize, especially when they're getting started out, is when you're emailing a venue or you're emailing a promoter, essentially you are asking that person to risk their money on you.
Yep.
You know? And so if you take a step back and look at it from the other side of, okay, I'm this band that just started a week ago. We want to go on our first national tour. We have 20 Facebook likes. Why are people not answering?
Why isn't Taylor Swift opening for me?
Right? So, I mean, it's what value are you bringing? You know?
I think that the num I had this conversation. I just on my second cup of coffee today. This is number three. I'm going on tour. I said this in the beginning,
I
but I'm
saw
going.
that.
Oh my God, dude, we could talk about that later. But by the time this interview airs, I will actually be in Canada, like on the day that it airs. But I'm going on tour, so I'm trying to do as much as possible today. So I'm on coffee number three. But on coffee number two, before you, I was meeting with this guy actually in the hip hop world, which is foreign to me, but I'm learning it and I'm loving like
Okay.
the business aspect. What was the line that you said before I went on this tangent? So I don't want to misquote you.
Oh, I said what you have to know what value you're bringing. You have to be bringing value.
Yes. So basically, with that and artists, the number one thing that I do with, bringing value is you tell the artist that you manage, and you can either agree or not agree. I have a feeling you're going to agree, and I really hope you do, because then this entire transition is stupid. But basically, you have to manage their expectations. You know
Oh,
what I mean?
definitely.
Thank you. Good. Okay, good. I'm glad that you said that with such affirmation. Because, I mean, think about this. Like, okay, so, Gone Waldman, wants to play your venue and solicits Morgan Carney. And you only get one chance to make a first impression. So it's going to look a heck of a lot better to you. Like, obviously, I know you gamble on bands for shows sometimes. I get it. It happens sometimes. But you just have to show them that, yes, you hustle. Yes, you are pushing your product well. And you have people, at least online, that are into it. Because,
Oh, definitely.
yeah. Okay, cool. Good, good, good.
Yeah, well,
You
yeah.
talk for the next minute straight, and then we're gonna go to a quick commercial, and I am literally zipping my lips.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, it's like you just said. I mean, you only have one chance to make a first impression, and on top of it all, the whole concert promotions game is all about history, and it's all about loyalty, and it's all essentially banking on that the people that you're booking when they're small will get bigger. and come back to you when they're bigger, you know? So whatever your, whatever that first impression looks like, I have to think, oh, this band could get bigger. This band can be something.
Right. And if they have the wrong name to you, like if they call you more goon, or
I don't even respond.
Exactly. Because I mean, it's, you know, the number one thing that my wife works in HR, so I have a good contact for this, but a resume is something that potentially you should spend a long time on, like a really long time editing. And if on your resume there's any typo, it just shows that, like, how are you going to be expected to accomplish something at a quick pace if you can't even, like, you're literally sending them, like, I mean, I want to give you a really good, what's a good analogous word for resume? Like, you're literally sending them pretty much like a portfolio of your life. And if you have an error on it, then you're just going to look irresponsible. And if someone is contacting you, chances are they're a stranger soliciting you. And if there's an error in anywhere in that, you're just like, okay, like, why should I trust this band to deliver? So.
Oh, definitely. If your pitch is not on point, then, like, why? What are you doing? Why are you even trying?
It sucks because I'm sure that you've, you know, sent some typos, and I've sent some typos, and but for all we know, like, we might have closed doors with people because this industry is large and small. You know, it's like there's a lot of people, but everyone somehow knows everyone. It's so weird. So
definitely.
Be careful. That's my advice. Anyway, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to get back into some more. I don't know. I think that you have a lot to offer as far as advice and pitching. So we're going to get to that, and then we're going to actually talk about your pivot to management. So stick around. And are you doing all right so far? Are you enjoying this?
Straight chilling, man.
Oh, my God. I am straight drinking cold brew, which is technically chilling. All right. Enjoy Waldman's words. I enjoy Morgan Carney. Hello. We are back with Waldman's words with Mr. Morgan Carney. Hello.
What's up, world?
What's up, world? Scott? No. I mean, my nickname in high school was World, so I'll hold on to this.
You were the world.
Yeah, you know the song, We Are the World? My mother thought that. You know, like, I was like, Mom, seriously, like, at least just, like, slow down. I'm a continent. I'm not the world. Like, that was her humble way of calling me fat. Anyway, so, Rocketown, what advice would you give besides, you know, in emails, like, what advice would you give a young band who's trying to make it? Because you manage a bunch of young bands trying to make it. Ooh, segue.
That was brilliant.
I didn't even write that.
I think on a broad level, make sure your product is great.
Okay. People don't understand that, which is crazy, right?
Right.
It's like, whatever. Product's not important. I just want to look sick in these pictures.
Exactly. I mean, and while the pictures are important, at the end of the day, unless you're in certain facets of the industry, and we can talk about that in a bit, but what you're selling is your music at the end of the day.
Yep.
So that's got to be on point.
The proof is in the pudding.
Yep.
Obviously, so things slip through the cracks, but it's hard to have a career with sustainability. I mean, yeah, you know, there's William Hung. You know, his product was technically bad vocals, like technically bad vocals, but he had his, I guess, foray into the sun because he was able to capitalize on that. But obviously, you don't hear the newest William Hung single on Z100 right now. So
yeah, but She Bang was the anthem of a generation, Scott.
I mean, She Bang is an anthem of the generation, and I'm not going to disagree with you. But if you really want, I'm going to scroll on my phone for this because I actually paid for a William Hung song.
No way.
I did. I support the arts, just not the war. William Hung. Look at this. I'm showing Fish. Do I not have a William Hung song on my phone? Wait. Can you say something, Fish? He doesn't normally interject, so this is special.
I'm not going to say the joke I was thinking of, but he does have a William Hung song.
I have a feeling I know what you were going to say, but I have a William Hung, and then you can interpret a joke however you want, but We Are the Champions. I have his rendition of We Are the Champions on my phone, and I actually need to re-download it onto my phone, so I'm doing that. Anyway, go back to you.
Oh,
sick transition, right?
Right. No, so we're talking about advice, right?
Well, yeah, we're talking about advice and how, you know, you're just like, have good music, and that's just not said enough, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So.
So no, you got to have good music, and this is kind of gonna put a lot of pressure on you, but you really need to have, like, every step is calculated. You know, if you want to do this full time as a career, everything is calculated. You know, why are you putting out your single when you're putting it out? Why is the single that you're putting out the single that you're putting out? Why are you taking this tour when you're taking this tour?
Are you Maybe talking strategy? Are you talking about strategy and planning?
Yeah, right? Who knew that's involved?
What is that? That's strategery, right? I'm trying to figure this out. I mean, because believe it or not, if you want to get Y, which I'm like talking like mathematically, like X to Y, you know, you should have ducks in a row.
Anyway. Oh, definitely.
Anyway, I mean, you're saying stuff that's like should be obvious to people, but it needs to be said. So,
well, yeah, I don't think people think about it all the time, you know.
Yep.
That it's just like it's all calculated. And honestly, I would say this is just this isn't broad. This is specific. When you're on tour, when you're playing shows, you're working.
Damn right.
And you should carry yourself in that way.
And you know, can I transition, because I think you're gonna, yeah, especially since you work at a venue, be nice. Like, obviously, don't be fake nice. But people, the sound guy is the most powerful person at a rock venue, the most powerful person in the world. And I have seen bands. You know, I obviously have toured before, but I've also play locally and I work with bands, so I've seen people just really, really like treat the sound guy in a way that they shouldn't. I mean, like, you don't bark at them. They've seen everybody, and you treat them like a human being for the reason, the number one reason is because they're a person and you should be nice to people and respect them, but they can really make you sound bad. They can really make you sound bad if you're not nice to them, and they are completely in control of that. So
definitely
don't be a jerk. You know,
well, and the same goes for the people promoting your shows.
Oh, you well, know? The same goes for everyone in general, but let's hear about that.
But no, I mean, it's like if you come to a show and say it's a Monday night and there's 20 kids there, like, you shouldn't be trash talking the promoter behind his back or in front of his back. You know, at the end of the day, he's still risking money to put your show on. And yeah, that might be a decision you can make behind the scenes to be like, okay, we're not going to work with this promoter again. But how you react in that situation can determine whether or not that promoter even wants to work with you again, or that promoter's friends even want to work with you again, or, you know, just a plethora of things that the management company that's really buddy buddy with that promoter potentially wanting to work with you in the future. You know, it's all, you have to be very kind and courteous. And
you have to be, because let's just say for the sake of argument, excuse me, that you're a jerk and you succeed, because obviously, like, people succeed that are jerks and people succeed who are nice. You're not going to stay on top forever, no matter how big you are.
No.
And if you're a jerk and you alienate everyone that you encounter, like, they're definitely not going to want to throw you back to the top of the mountain if you're falling down. Like, they're going to want to run out of the way so you, like, hit the ground and explode.
Exactly. And you would rather have people helping you stay on top.
Exactly. And so in general, I guess my biggest advice for anyone is just be nice and be grateful. Like, one of the things I really liked about you is that you were sincerely just really happy that you were going to be on this show. And I know this show isn't, you know, Gone Fishkin. I'm looking at him. I know that this show isn't the hugest show in the world, but you were grateful to be a part of it. And I am just – it makes the interview so much better when someone really wants to do it. And so I just speak from that perspective saying thank you. You are definitely not a jerk. So
I appreciate you having me, but you're backtracking a little bit. Because
I'm backtracking the whole freaking time.
How this was the best thing ever.
Oh, my God. That's not backtracking. That's being hypocritical. This is the best thing ever. Oh, my God. I have never had as much fun as I am having right now. Insert guest here. Thank you. No, honestly, I am enjoying this interview, and I guess you know that thing in Step Brothers, like, did we just become best friends? Yep. I can't call you that. Well, I'm going to be honest with you on that. I have a best friend, and my sister has about 33. I have one. Best, because best is one. But hopefully when we meet in person, we become friends. We'll be great.
Yeah. I think we can be friends.
I like that. That's cool. So I guess let's hear about Captain Artist Management. I just followed you on Twitter, so that's the news I have right now.
I followed you back.
I know. I saw that. You play hard to get with this stuff. You just click like on Waldman's words. You just click like on Waldman's words. I'm calling you out.
Oh,
so fish smile.
Essentially what happened was, you know, I'd been at Rocket Town for, I guess a year and a half or something like that. And one of the things that I really liked doing was speaking into the local bands that I was booking on bigger shows. So it just kind of made logical sense to, you know, try to start a management company, like see what happens.
I like that you say try to, because I still feel like I tried to start one too, and I'll forever feel that way, even though we have ones.
So I started with a band called Radnor.
Yeah, you did. I mentioned them.
Wait, what? You
mentioned them? I mentioned in the beginning. I said, Radnor.
You mentioned them. I didn't hear the intro.
No, it's okay. You didn't hear the intro that you weren't privy to? That's weird.
Exactly.
No, I mentioned Radnor, Forever at Last, and Woven in Hiatus. I hope I'm right.
That sounds good to me.
Dope.
So I just started managing them, and, I'm in a very – I'm hashtag blessed to be at Rocket Town.
Damn right you are.
And be exposed to – lots of great music all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. So
you can't hear my nod, but I'm nodding. Like it's the calendar. I looked at it's great. It's a legit venue, and also obviously summer is coming up, so it might even get that much more exciting/hot. But no, I have a feeling like you get a significant discount at Rocket Town shows. That's awesome.
I do actually. I did get a great discount at their
shows. That's awesome. That's so sick.
Yeah, but no, so and that's kind of how it came about with Forever at Last and with Woven. You know, I had just booked both of their bands. I've booked Forever at Last tons of times, and I was just talking to Jared one day, who's the drummer for the band, and I was like, hey, if you need any help, like let me know. And then and that kind of materialized a little bit later. And then same thing with Woven. I actually, the first time I booked them, I looked them up afterwards, and I saw that they didn't have representation, but they'd already had an agent and stuff. And
who is their agent? I don't even know.
They don't have one. Well, right now they're booked by a guy named Kenny Ruiz, who's in a band called Welcome Home, and he's killing it. He's great. Shout out to Kenny. Love you, brother.
What's up, Kenny?
So they didn't have an agent, or they had an agent at the time, but they didn't have management. And I hit them up, and I was like, hey, like, I'm just getting my feet wet in here. If you want any help, like, let me know. And they said, no, we'll get they're like, we don't think we're into this right now.
Okay.
And I was like, cool, whatever. And then like 3 months later, they came back and said, hey, like, let's do this. And I was like, okay. So here we are with them.
I saw Luke, just so you know, and you know this. I'm telling you something you know, but I just wanted to be said on the air for the people that don't know this. I got to see the In Vogue acoustic tour with JT Woodruff. It had the singer of In Her Own Words. It also had Luke from Woven in Hiatus, and my wife, I drag her, and that's the literal word, I drag her to a lot of shows, because, you know what it's like being with a significant other, and you know what it's like being with a significant other when you work in music, and I honestly don't know what your fiancé does, but I assume you drag her to shows. And so basically, I saw that show, and she really dug Luke. She really dug his voice, and she dug the songs, and that's a rare thing for her, because I don't know if you saw it, but I wrote a very polarizing post about Glassjaw and how my wife doesn't like
it.
Oh my God.
I can look at this.
And Tom, the CEO of the company, came in the room. Every time he comes in the room, I get scared because he's really strong. Like, honestly, the other day when I don't want to talk too much about this, but like, he hurts me. Tom hurts me. Anyway, continue.
That's kind of that's where we're at. I've only been doing it for like, I guess 6 months now or something like that officially.
You've been killing it in six months, dude.
I mean, we're trying to, right?
Sorry, you're en route to murder. You're like robberying it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like just small gas stations and convenience stores. It's not bank status.
Whoa, slow down, man. The people who work at small gas stations and convenience stores, they have hearts too, okay? Like, I don't need you to really besmirch them. They work just as hard as you.
Probably harder, and you know, yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad. Wow. You know, it really takes a real adult to own up. So I'm really glad that you have accountability and we can move forward with this. So tell me more about, I guess, I know that Radner, I believe, is unsigned.
Yep.
Forever at Last, they're on Victory Records, correct?
Yep.
And Woven Hiatus, obviously, we both have the Nick Moore connection. The band is on In Vogue Records. So
yes.
What's it like managing two signed artists? Because you actually started working with them after they were signed. So that's cool for you, you know, that like these people who have achieved something are taking a chance on you.
It's cool for me. It's kind of weird if we're just being transparent.
No, I want you to be fake, dude. I want you to I want the people listening to this to learn absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's weird coming on the team after that happens.
Because you're not privy to it before you tell me because I think I know what you're going to say.
No, I mean, you just have to get caught up. You have to be introduced to everyone. And it's not necessarily like you helped cultivate that relationship.
Right.
So, like logistically, it's a little bit weird. Whereas,
would you say precarious?
I'm sorry?
Would you say precarious?
Potentially.
Okay.
You know, we're not trying to make any ridiculous changes, mm-hmm. but if you were trying to make changes, then of course it's precarious, you know?
Have you ever seen Office Space?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like you're the guy from Scrubs who's on it? Do you feel like the guy from Scrubs who comes into the office and is basically like downsizing people? Do you feel like that kind of guy, like a consultant, or do you feel that it's a very familial or maybe both?
It's, you know, I mean, and partially it's part that I haven't been on the team super long for either of them.
Well, you just started managing people 6 months ago, so give yourself break.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you just have to come in and you have to talk about, you know, how is this working out? Like, what's going on? Where are we at in the record cycle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's nothing, I mean, both Victory and Invoke have been great. You know, so they're all both super responsive whenever we try to talk to them about things. You know, Nick talks to Luke all the time about, like, Luke will send him over songs and Nick's like, yeah, this sounds sick.
Nick,
you know?
Nick, honestly, because he was in a band, well, still is, but it's not as active, obviously, because he's got the label and a family, but before their eyes. So he comes to that perspective of being a songwriter. So it's, I think that's cool that, you know,
it's awesome.
He has someone as a literal sounding board. Zing.
Yeah. And it's sick because, I mean, and the feedback we're getting is great. So that's awesome. But it's just a different dynamic having another person in those conversations.
Yep.
That's looking out for different people's best interests. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And not to say that record labels are shady or anything like that. I don't think
some are, but
I think we're blessed to both have in all my bands, we have very supportive labels and very supportive A&R reps and all that. But it is a business.
Yep.
You know,
Nick's job at En Vogue and anyone who owns a label, their job is to sell records. That is their job. Our job as artists is to be the liaison with every single person that they deal with to try to offer some counsel. But at the end of the day, we're not the ones playing the shows. We're not the ones, you know, recording the music. So the way I look at it is we throw them the ball and they either put a safety pin in it or they score, you know?
Yep. So that's a little bit of about what that's like to come into that situation.
Well, I love it. I mean, because I've never come into the situation where I managed a band that already had that. Like every record deal that I've been a part of, I mean, or in the process or whatever have you, it's just like been like building from scratch kind of. Like,
yeah.
So it's different. It's very different. And I'm actually contemplating co-managing some bands with Ross. I don't know. I mean, you know about this. Ross Robey, shout out to him. But I just, my plate is so full that I can't afford, like, for my brain to take on a band on my own right now.
No, definitely.
All right. Well, we have about 2 minutes left. So
cool.
Can you just, if you want to say anything about Rocketown or link people to Rocketown or link people to Captain Artist Management, say whatever you think is the best way for people to scope you guys out. I say you guys because obviously, like, Captain is you, but Rocketown is something that you're a part of, and I definitely want both companies to get their just due. So
no, definitely. So if you want to check out any of the shows we have coming up, check out Rocketown.org. We have all sorts of metal, all sorts of pop, all sorts of, as Scott said, very versatile, eclectic, so to speak. So if you're ever in Nashville, come by, say hey. So my email for all show related things is morgan@rocketown.org. Super easy.
I just want to let you know that that's awesome that you just gave that. So thank you.
I mean, I feel like the people listening to this show might be more informed than some of the people I get emails from on a daily basis. So I welcome the influx of emails from people that listen to Waldman's Words.
Oh, I can't promise you that any of them will actually email you. You'd be surprised. I get random emails like people follow me. I mean, I'm not verified on Twitter like Fish. You know, no, not everyone can be Fish. But more people actually follow my own personal page after these shows than Waldman's Words. So if you could, you know, talk about yourself, talk about whatever, however they want to get a hold of you, you know, that's fine with me.
But yeah, and then you can check out the Captain Artist Management roster at CaptainArtistMGMT.com. And my email there is Morgan@CaptainArtistMGMT.com.
I love that you just gave two emails out on the air. Like, that's really, really sweet. I'm going to be creating some fake email accounts to email you. Like, heard you on Waldman's Words. You did okay.
And I'm going to try to respond to every one of them.
With that tone of voice?
Yeah, I might try to do that.
That was really good. Thank you. All right. So the next few weeks, like I said in the beginning, are going to be awesome. I'm actually not going to be in the Adobe studio because this time next week, I will be somewhere in Vancouver. And I don't know if they have cell phones up there, but hopefully I'll be able to find one or... You know, they might have some place with Wi-Fi. I don't know. I don't know. Stop badgering me. But JJR is going to be on. Tom's laughing at that repeatedly. He's got one of those silent laughs when you lean back and you're just like, oh. See, that was the laugh. But anyway, JJR, who manages 4 Year Strong, we pre-taped that actually for reasons like this. That's going to be next week. We got Chris Bianchi over at Mercenary. We've got Buck Foley, who works at Riot Fest. And Fish, can you pronounce Mike's last name again?
Cubulos.
Cubulos. Mike Cubulos will be on the show. And
I just call him Mike Earshot Media.
I mean, I'm sure he really appreciates that. Silence. Anyway, so Morgan, you are literally a Georgia peach. Thank you so much for doing the show. I'm sure that we will Facebook about it soon, and if you have any last words for the billions and billions of people listening, please do it.
I'd say Waldman Carney 2020.
I'm down, dude. We're actually me and you are going to be running. I love that you said Waldman Carney. So I will be president, you'll be vice president, and we will be running against the current administration.
I think we can do it.
I mean, I think we could do it. Oh.
We're going to be huge, Scott. We're going to be huge.
Oh, it's going to be huge. Dude, I was looking at Trump's Twitter the other day, and it looked like it was designed by a six-year-old. Like, the top of it. Anyway, I digress. Have a great day, night. Bye.
All right. See you, Scott.